a real blessing. I wouldn't mind going home anytime. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this on? Did I turn it on? It's on. It's on. Amen. Well, let me just say it's always a blessing, always a privilege to be here with Trinity Baptist Church. Again, just really can't say enough about what this church means to me. Brother Dilbert, obviously as a friend, as a preacher, as a counselor to me. Brother Jack, again a friend, one I look up to, just a great example. And thank you, Brother Jack, for the opportunity to preach at camp. And I appreciate y'all who were at camp. You had to endure me. Only got one more sermon to endure. You got to endure into the end. And so if you're worn out and tired, I understand, because I'm worn out and tired. And if you fall asleep, I won't be offended, I promise you. I have a friend in Michigan, he pastors in Flint. We were at a meeting, and he said, "Hey, brother, I just got a question for you. Does any of your people yawn when you preach?" I said, "Yawn? They sleep." So I won't be offended, I mean it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for, again, camp. It was amazing, just a great opportunity just to see. Hopefully we affected some lives of some young folks. I enjoyed the fellowship. Enjoyed the games. Brother Jack hurt me 10 minutes of being at camp. We tried to play football, or I tried to play football. It didn't work too well, but by God's grace, again, thank God for the three souls that were saved. And thank you for the opportunity. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'm always amazed. I'm not just saying this. I'm always amazed, Brother Dilbert. I pull into church, and I see all these cars. I think, what are these people doing here? Why are they here? And I know it's not listening to me, but they could go somewhere else. And the same is true tonight. You could have went anywhere. You're probably here out of duty. That's a good duty to have. But I'm thankful that you'll put up with me for one more sermon. But if you'd open your Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to help you out. Try to be a blessing. And then get out of the way. Going to read one verse. This will be the focus of the message tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you would, look what the Bible says in verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." Again, Brother Jack, I really appreciate the opportunity to be at camp. You ask the Lord to bless the preaching tonight. Amen, amen. I appreciate that. As Brother Jack was praying and he was mentioning, and I thought about this when I left camp, I try to emphasize to these young folks that the Christian life's not easy. The reason I try to emphasize that is because this world lies to them. The world tells them, you know, if you get saved and name and claim it and God's desires for you to be rich and everything's going to be okay, and then the first trial comes in their life and they start questioning God. But I think maybe I overemphasized that, and I didn't put this in here, so let me put this in here tonight. Life without Christ is much harder. In life itself, the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The difference is we have God with us through those hard times. And so it is the best life. I'm simply saying it's hard. And the first trial, we don't need to say our Christian life was an error. We need to put our hands to the plow and not look back and endure some hardness. But thank God when those trials and tribulations come, I got a friend that's sticking closer to the brother. I got a Savior that knows what it's like to be tempted. And thank God for Jesus Christ. I don't know, that's just part of the introduction. But here in our text, I told you I'm tired. Here in our text, Paul warns Timothy, listen to me tonight, not about the crowd, but about himself. The phrase, take heed of thyself in some form, is all the way throughout the scripture. Can I tell you tonight, that's why I want to focus on. I want to focus on all of us taking heed of ourselves. You know, it's real easy to point out the faults with the church down the road. It's real easy to point out the faults with your spouse. At least it is Christy for me. It's real easy for us to point our fingers at the brethren and say they're doing this wrong and they're doing that wrong. Well, what good is that? How does that help you out at all? You know, the Pharisees were real good at doing that. You know, it's often hard to stop and examine thyself and find out areas maybe you're deterring a little bit or you're off track a little bit. And all throughout the Bible, we're commanded to examine ourselves. And that's what the Apostle Paul is warning Timothy about here. He says it like this in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And the Apostle Paul continually told us to examine ourselves. And that's all I want to do tonight is simply point out some areas that I think would be good for this church, for myself, a good Bible-believing church, to stop and take heed of thyself in some certain areas that the Bible commands us to look at. I've been preaching a series at Lighthouse entitled, How Is It? And I preached a three-part series, and the first part was, How Is It With Thee? And that message focused on our individual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if we're ever going to see revival, and I don't believe in national revival, but I do believe you can affect your community. I believe this church can have revival. I believe some homes can have revival. But you know where revival starts? Revival starts with your personal walk with Jesus Christ. You can't have revival if you're not walking with Jesus Christ. So how is it with thee this evening? I'm talking about how is it with your Bible reading? How is it with your prayer? How is it with your fellowship with God? I believe that the church can never rise above the level of individuals it's made up of. You know what needs to happen? Some people need to take heed of thyself. All of us have a propensity just to go through the motions, to put on the shirt, put on the tie, don the doors, and not take heed of our walk with God. That's where it starts. But you know, the second thing you need to do, the second message I preach is, how is it with thy home? Again, Trinity Baptist Church will never be any stronger than the homes that represent it. You know what we need to get back to? Family devotions. And I don't know where you're at. Do you have family devotions? Is it a strange thing for you to talk about the Lord with your family? Back in the day, that was very common, but I believe in 2026, we need to take heed of thyself in our home. What is the things that we allow our children to watch? What's the conversation that fills the house? I want to ask you a question for you to examine yourself. How many times is the Lord's name even mentioned in your house? That's something that should be very common in a Bible believer's home, talking about the Bible, talking about Jesus Christ, talking about grace, talking about goodness. How is it with thy home? And the third part there is, how is it with thy church? I believe those are God's plans. God's plan is for you to walk with him, talk with him, to have a godly home, and listen to me tonight, and be part of a good local church. You know what you have here? one of the best local churches in all the world. And I'm glad you're here tonight, but the question is, are you part of it? I'm not asking, do you come? I'm saying, are you part of it? You know what? I see this, I'm sure you guys see it too. You see a family of young folks, they get saved, they start coming to church, but as soon as you say amen, they're gone. Wednesday nights, they don't show up. Extra functions, they don't show up. And it's not long, they fall out of church. You know what you need to do? You need to be part of a local church. So how is it with thee? The reason I'm focused on that, I want God to use Lighthouse. I want God to use me, and I'm sure you all want God to use you. So it starts with your personal walk with Jesus Christ. Then you have to examine your home. Then you have to examine, am I part of this local church? Not too long ago, I preached a meeting with another PBI graduate. It was a real good brother, a fantastic preacher. His name is Brother Trundy. Probably don't know him. He doesn't preach out much. But he took that PBI alumni book. He started looking through the pictures, and he said, that one's no longer in the ministry. That one's in prison. That one's in jail. That family's divorced. That man altogether is out of the ministry. He's no longer serving Jesus Christ. You know how that happens? Christians, quit taking heed of thyself. You know what you need to do? Examine your own life tonight and your own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to preach on in just a few moments, some truths that the Bible commands us to take heed to thyself. The first one we see here in the text is we need to take heed to thyself in doctrine. Doctrine's important. Look what it says there in verse 16 again, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but doctrine's important. You know why a lot of churches don't want to deal with doctrine? Because doctrine divides. Well, I believe this, and I believe this, and well, I'm not coming here because you guys are pre-trib, and yeah, that's the right doctrine to hold to. You believe that God's going to restore Israel? Yeah, that's the right doctrine to hold to. You guys believe that speaking in tongues is a known language is a sign to the Jew? Yeah, that's the right doctrine to hold to. But listen to me tonight, a lot of Christians don't care about doctrine. But I'm here to remind you, your doctrine, your beliefs affect your behavior. Your doctrine does matter. If you don't realize it matters or not, I'm telling you it matters tonight. Give you example after example, the one I like to use. Two times when the Bible talks about that evil servant. You know what he says? My master delayeth his coming. See, there's a connection with getting your eyes off the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what you do. You know what we're supposed to be doing tonight? We're supposed to be looking for our blessed hope. That's why your doctrine matters. And man, you guys are in a great church. I already said that. You get doctrine week after week. You get taught the Word of God. But that is vital. Your doctrine does matter. You realize if you get your doctrine wrong, your worship will be wrong. If you get your doctrine wrong, your living will be wrong. If you get your doctrine wrong, your priorities will be wrong. You won't know how to handle suffering. You won't know the reason for suffering. And your doctrine will affect your behavior. So you know what you need to do tonight? Take heed to thy doctrine. And simply meaning, you better know what you believe according to this book. You know why we're Bible believers? And I know that's a label, and I'm not trying to say we're better than anyone else, but what we say is this King James Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. That tells me what to believe and how to act. Tells me who to be friends with and who not to be friends with. Where to go to church and where not to go to church at. Thank God for doctrine tonight. We understand the warning of the end times. They won't endure sound doctrine. So you better take heed to thyself, to your doctrine. A little bit on my heart, and I won't go into the reason why, but let me just give you an example. Take the doctrine of hell. And I just want to illustrate to you how your belief on hell shapes your behavior. And I believe we have the right belief on hell. But take, for example, a Calvinist. You know what a Calvinist teaches? A Calvinist teaches that hell is a place for those that God did not elect. What a shameful thing. You know what they say? That sinner was born a sinner. He had no choice in it. God did not elect him. Therefore, he has no chance to get saved. He can't even call on the Lord because the irresistible grace hasn't called him. And therefore, he's going to die and go to hell. What a wicked doctrine. To say God chose some for heaven and some for hell. That's not according to the Bible I read. So you know what that Calvin, you know what the end result of Calvinism is? Don't witness. There's already the elect. If the elect are going to go to heaven, why are we knocking on doors? If the elect are going to heaven, why do we support missionaries? See, it affects your behavior on your doctrine of hell. Here's the other extreme. The other extreme is the liberal. You know what the liberal says? God is love. And I'm going to get to it. Thank God God is love. But they start with the wrong preposition or a supposition of what love is, and they define it according to human logic. And so here's what they say. Since God is love, God would never allow a man to burn for all eternity. Because that's not love. And you know what they do? They then invent a doctrine called annihilation. You know why? Because it's more compassionate if God would burn them up instead of let them suffer forever. And if they don't go to that extreme, they go to another extreme, which is called universalism. And since Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, they'll suffer a little bit of time in the fire, but eventually they'll be saved. You see what that does? Your wrong doctrine will misinform you about the doctrine of hell and it'll affect your living. But you know what the Bible believer does? We don't start with definitions from the world or our own human reasoning. We start with the Word of God. And here's where we start. We know that God did not create hell for man, but hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But because of man's sin, now man is subject to that same condemnation. But thank God, God is love. And he's not willing that any should perish. And since he's not willing that any should perish, he sent his only begotten Son. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's hope. That's good news. And you know what that does to the church? Let's go preach the gospel. Let's go tell sinners about Jesus Christ. You see how that affects the motivation of the church? I could go on and on about examples. I'm simply telling you tonight, take heed to thy doctrine. Your doctrine affects your behavior and what you believe. Again, it's going to affect your personal walk if you realize it or not. Those things that you hold as doctrine, they affect how you view judgment, how you view eternity, how you view suffering, how you view the reason why we're even here. And again, we know we're here. We're as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed to thyself, to thy doctrine. Can I give you a warning tonight? Doctrine must not just be learned, it must be continued in. Look at our verse again. Look what it says there in verse 16. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now watch it. Continue in them. Why? For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Can I tell you, many start right. But unfortunately, few or a lot fall away from sound doctrine. Do you know what sound doctrine will do? It'll save you. Now listen, we're not talking about the salvation of your soul here. He's writing to save folks. You know what it'll save you? Heartache. You know what it'll save you? Your home. You know why? It'll tell you men how to love your wives. It'll tell you wives how to submit unto your husbands. It'll tell you the importance of the local church. It will instruct you how to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It will save you a whole lot if you continue in the doctrine that you've been taught. And it'll save you from being a castaway. And it'll save you from being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm telling you, your doctrine will save you some things. So take heed to thyself and thy doctrine. Secondly, can I say tonight, not only do we need to take heed to our doctrine, we need to take heed in diligence. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Take heed to thyself in doctrine. Take heed to thyself in diligence. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and look what the Bible says in verse 9. Don't miss it. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and to thy sons' sons. You know what God's commanding Israel here? To be diligent, listen, not to forget. You know why a lot of Christians fall out of the fight? It's not because they don't have sound doctrine. We need to continue in that. But they forget what God's done for them. You know what Israel saw? They saw the miracles. They crossed the Red Sea. They ate the manna from heaven. They drank water from a rock. They saw God intervene and fight for them and destroy their enemies. But they forgot all that. You know why Christians fall away? Because they forgot what God has done for them. You know what we need to do? Take heed to thyself in diligence of what? Remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Remember where you were without Christ? I remember where I was without Christ. Remember the cross? Remember Calvary? Remember that precious blood that was shed? Remember how he saved your soul? You remember how he loved you when you didn't love him? Hey, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Thank God for Jesus Christ tonight. But we're so soon to forget. Better take heed to thyself in diligence. How about some of you mothers, when you needed God and your little one was sick, or there's marriage issues, and you prayed and you wept and you saw God and he answered? That's the God we serve. He's a good God. He hears our prayers. He knows your burdens. But you know what our problem is? Our problem is not the world. Our problem is we're so soon to forget how good God's been to us. Better take heed in thy diligence. What? Simply to remember what God's done for us. You know what we do? We forget what God gave us. We forget the prayers answered. We forget the battles that we won. I remember having battles. I still have battles. But I remember some battles as a young Christian. I remember getting saved and I was in the military, and the old saying goes, curse like a sailor. No one had to tell me that ought not speak that way. And I wrestled with that thing. It was just a habit. And finally, my chief said, hey, whatever you're struggling with, hide that word of God in the heart that I might not sin against thee. And I was diligent about it, and I prayed, and I wrestled with that thing, and I memorized the scripture in Matthew chapter 12. For I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give account of, therefore in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Those two first verses I ever memorized in my life. You know what it was like? Man, the shackles came off and God changed my tongue. I remember that battle. I remember what it was like to be a drunkard. Thank God I'm not today. I know what it was like to have a dysfunctional home. Thank God I have a stable home today. You know what God's done? He's done great things in every one of your lives. You know what we do? We just are so soon to forget. It'll be good tonight. Just take heed to thyself in diligence. Just to remember the goodness of God. Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Man, we're blessed. I was telling those young kids at camp, if there's ever a group of people ought to be happy, ought to live life, and us ought to be us Bible believers. We're saved, we're sealed, we have a home in heaven. We got a book that we believe in. We got a God that brings us comfort. Hey, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Listen, tonight I'm telling you, God's been good to us. We need to remember the goodness of God. You know what will happen? You just start remembering the goodness of God, you'll start praising him. You'll start rejoicing in him. I won't for time's sake, but sometime read Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know what God said? He warned them. He said, you're going to get fat and you're going to forget me. I'm going to bless you and you're going to forget everything you've went through. Some of you forgot what you've went through. Some of you forgot those lonely nights, the depression, the darkness, the hard times, I got young men in my church that want to end their life. Maybe you were there. I was a drunkard. Maybe you were there. Maybe you had a temper. Maybe you couldn't have children. You got them today. Maybe you went through some heartbreak. You know what we do? God blesses us, and we're just like the nation of Israel. We're so soon to forget the goodness of God. You know what we need to do? Take heed of ourselves and be diligent to what? To remember and not forget. I think a great example of this is George Mueller. You've heard plenty of illustrations about George Mueller. George Mueller was an evangelist, but he was best known for his orphanages over there in England. They said he cared for over 10,000 children in those orphanages. One of the best and well-known stories is one day at that orphanage, none of those children had any food. They came and told George Mueller, they said, to sit all the children down at the table. He then walked over to that table and he said, all right, children, listen up. We're going to ask and we're going to thank God for the food that we're going to get. He bowed his head and thanked God for the food that wasn't there. He got done praying. It wasn't long. There was a knock on the door. And a baker came up. He said, Mr. Mueller, I don't know what it was, but last night I couldn't sleep, and God woke me up. So I baked this bread for you. You think you guys could use it?
Yeah.
Mr. Mueller said, yeah, we could use it, and took it in. A few months later, another knock on the door came. And the milkman's cart broke down right in front of the orphanage. He said, Mr. Mueller, this milk is going to spoil. We can't sell it. Would you like it? He said, we'll take it. Remarkable man. A man of faith. Maybe you haven't heard this about him. You know what George Mueller did? He never forgot. They said George Mueller kept a book where he has over 50,000 answered prayers. That's how we read these stories, from his own account, where he prayed and God answered. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, church, we pray often and God answers often, but we often forget the goodness of God. Take heed to thyself. In thy diligence, we serve a good God. We need to remember, because we're no better than the nation of Israel. We're so soon to forget. Third, can I say tonight, we need to take heed to thyself in thy devotion. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, if you would. In thy devotion. When I say devotion, I'm meaning our worship. And how we become before our Savior. Well, the Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. You see that? You say, what are you saying tonight? God was particular on how he was to be worshipped. You don't just get to worship God any way you want. We're living in a modern era that says, well, if it feels good, then it must honor God. No. He said, take heed to thyself. Don't offer burnt offerings wherever thou seest. You know why? There was a place that needed to offer those burnt offerings. You know how we're supposed to worship God? According to this book. Not according to my preference, not according to your preacher's preference, but what this book says is how we're supposed to worship God. We better take heed to ourselves in our worship. You know what Israel was warned to do? Don't worship however you want. I got a place. I got a manner. I got a way that you're going to offer burnt sacrifices. You don't just get to worship me however you want. And I know it's real easy to preach this. I'm not going to focus on it. But you know what the problem with Christianity is? This Sunday morning, Christians from coast to coast, from north to south, they gathered together and they worshiped however they wanted. And they didn't take heed to thyself. And their worship. You know what happens when we worship any way we want? Worship becomes entertainment. Emotions replace truth. Convenience replaces conviction. Ministry becomes optional. Performance replaces praise. And preference replaces principle. There's some things we ought to be principled on that we ought not move one inch on. And it doesn't matter if this culture likes it. You know what we do as Bible believers? This is the way we're going. This is the God we're worshiping. This is the book we believe. We don't have to be jerks for Jesus about it, but we also don't have to compromise. God does care how we worship. God cared when Cain brought the fruit of the ground. God cared when Moses smote the rock and he was instructed to speak to it. God cared when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. God cared when Uzzah touched the ark. God cared when Saul offered a sacrifice he had no business with. I could go on and on. I'm simply telling you, from Genesis to Revelation, God cares how we worship. You know how we're supposed to worship? The Bible tells you we're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's how we're supposed to worship, according to the Word of God. We better take heed in thy devotion. Listen, we're not some high church where you walk in and you got to bend six times and, you know, face a wall and sprinkle some water here and light the smoke. And I'm not talking about rituals, but there ought to be a reverence. You realize what we're doing tonight? We're going before the throne and worshiping our Savior. And I think we should give our all. I think it should come from our heart. I think we should try to put the distractions aside. I think there should be some respect for the Bible. I think we're worshiping our Savior. We better take heed in thy devotions. And because he wants us to take heed in thy devotions, our worship, look what he says in verse 19. Take heed to thyself, that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Well, you know what that Levite represented, don't you? That was, listen to me tonight, and listen, I'm preaching at a good church where there's no issues. I'm sure since the foundation of the church, you guys never had issues. Don't we wish, brother? You know what the Levite was? God's ordained leader. You know what the Levite did? He established God's ordained worship in the manner that they were supposed to do, in the way they were supposed to sing. You know what that means? Or take heed to thyself. You know what happens? Listen to me tonight, real clear. I'm being a little bit personal. You know what happens with good Christians that love the Lord, that love the King James Bible, that would stand on a street corner and preach the Word of God, that will go door knocking? Somewhere down the path, they don't take heed to thyself in their worship. And they forget that Levite. They forget that preacher that God's called, and that pastor God's called, and the assistant he's called, and the men that God's called to put in leadership. Just 2 weeks ago, at Lighthouse, I was getting ready to leave for back-to-back trips, and I had a young man come to me. He was all upset. He was bent out of shape. He said, "Preacher, my wife was at church the other day, and he was giving me the details. In the church, there was two women talking about the decision you made was wrong and how we ought not to do that." And he was all upset and mad. Because these two women are talking. And they're saying, you know, whatever. And I'm only going to get into the decision what I made. And they're sitting there talking in the church. And this young girl's hearing them. And she goes back and tells her husband. You know what I did? I said, "Who are those women? Bring them to my office." It's not what I did. Not at all what I did. Can I say tonight, many pastors cause their own problems. I set that young man down. I said, "Listen, brother, it's no big deal. Let me establish something first. I'm not above criticism. And I'm not always going to make the right choice. But what they're doing is not right. And so here's my suggestion. This young man's called to preach and wants to be a pastor one day. Your wife's going to be in the ministry with you. And by the way, this is good for all you ladies here. I'm trying to help this church tonight." I said, "Just let it go. We'll give it to God. It's not a big deal." I always tell the men this. Small people make things big. Big people make things small. Two women criticized me because of the decision I made. That's not a big deal. Not the Pope. They might even be right. Maybe, perchance. I said, "Here's what you do. Just let it go. But next time, instruct your wife to do this. Simply look at those ladies and say, 'Ladies, that's not right. We should not be doing this in church. If you have an issue with the decision made, you can go talk to Pastor. You can go talk to the deacons.'" Hear me tonight. If all of you ladies in this church would do that, when you hear other people gossiping, I promise you, there would be no gossip. But can I tell you tonight, both those women probably loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They probably loved the King James Bible. But you know what they failed to do? To take heed of thyself and thy devotion. I like to illustrate it like this. Brother Gary, he's my deacon. He is a master carpenter. I mean, he just makes everything look beautiful. He works on $700,000-$800,000 houses. If I were to go do a job with Brother Gary, and I were to look at that trim, and I would never say, Brother Gary, I think that trim's a little off. That'd be foolish of me. He's a master carpenter. He's been doing it for 20 plus years. I got Brother Bill in my church. He's a master plumber. If I was to help him out, I have helped him out, and he said, hey, listen, pitch that pipe at this degrees, I'd be foolish to say, are you sure that's the right degree? Who am I to say that? Can I say this with every ounce of charity, no anger at all? You're Bible-believing women, right? Are women supposed to pastor a church? Are they supposed to serve authority over men? Then who are you to say that the pastor's wrong? If you have a husband, go to your husband. Say, I'm not sure about this. If you're not married, go to the pastor. You got a great pastor. He'll talk to you. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Problems come because people don't keep rank. And again, that's not to say that I'm always right, Brother Dilbert's always right, but there is a way. He said, forsake not the Levite. That's God's called man. Have you not seen in the Bible what happens when people challenge him? The earth might open up. Other things, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, listen, I'm trying to help you. The same thing's true for you men. Listen, we gossip probably more than the women. You know what you hear some men complain around the church? You should say the same thing. Hey, you got an issue with it, go talk to Brother Jack, go talk to Brother Dilbert. You know what that would do? Solve a lot of problems in churches. You'd be surprised if good Bible-believing churches split over nonsense. And they love the Lord. But you know what they fail to do? Take heed of thyself in their devotion. Let me give you the last one. I'll be done. Take heed of thyself. Listen. In thy distinction. In thy distinction. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. And look what the Bible says in verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by what? Following them. After they be destroyed from before thee, that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You know what God was warning the nation of Israel? He said, take heed to thyself. You're supposed to be distinct. You're not supposed to be like everyone else. Don't inquire how they worship their God. Who cares what the latest program is to build a church? Who cares what culture says we should be doing? Take heed of thyself. We ought to be distinct. And God called Israel to be separate. And I remind you tonight, God's called us to be separate. I don't want to touch on that and I'll be done. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, I did touch on this in camp, so if you heard it, just act like you didn't. But peculiar does not mean weird. It does not mean odd. We got enough weird, odd Christians. So get off of YouTube, drop the conspiracy theories. That's not what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about? The word peculiar there means one that's owned, one that's purchased, one that's special, one that's unique from everyone else. Can I just challenge you tonight? You ought not have to convince this world you're a Christian. They should know you're a Christian. And listen, the religious world is so hyper-fixated on dress and clothing and standards, it's not even what I'm talking about. You know how you ought to be peculiar? In your compassion. When you go to work and everyone's angry and you got a smile on your face. When everyone's talking bad about the boss and you mind your own business. When everyone's late and you're early. Where everyone's a sloth and you work hard. You know what this world will see? Something different about that person. They're peculiar. You know what you should be different in? Your suffering. I often tell the story how I never, and I told that camp, and it's true for the most part, there's some minor details in there, but growing up in Rockford, Illinois, I never had a witness. That's true. No Bible believer ever knocked on my door. Never saw a street preacher. Never read a gospel tract. Never opened the Bible until after I joined the military. But as I said, there was little bit that I look back now, and there was a witness there. There was this man, his name was Doug, forget his last name at the moment, Swanson, Doug Swanson. He worked at a local grocery store. And I don't know what it was about him as a lost man, but there was something different. Again, as I just described, he came to work every day with a smile on his face. He treated all these lost punks kindly. He didn't talk bad about them. He was genuine. But I'll never forget this. He was always at work. He never missed. One day, I noticed he wasn't there, and I said, "What happened to Doug?" I said, "Oh, you didn't hear the bad news?" I said, "No, what happened?" His daughter was killed in a motor vehicle accident. I think, oh my, that's awful. Young daughter, teenage girl. I think it was 2, maybe 3 days later. You know who walked in that door? The same Doug, with a smile on his face. He had this difference about him. I didn't know what it was, but I said, I want that. I would to God he would have gave me the gospel. I probably would have got saved. But thank God he was peculiar. He was different. Do your coworkers know you're a Christian without you having to tell them? Without you having to take a Bible and beat them over the head? Your very life should be an epistle that they read, and it should declare that I am Jesus Christ. There is something different about me. Take heed to thyself in thy distinction. I don't understand this. Christians in 2026 try so hard to be like the world that you can't even tell they're a Christian. I don't want to be anything like the world. I don't want to be anything like this culture. It's a madhouse out there. It's angry out there. It's dog eat dog out there. The world says get as much as you can. The Lord says give. The world says conquer the world. The Bible says lay down your life. Take heed to thyself and thy distinction. I'm done with this. You probably have heard the story about the Moravian missionaries. Those Moravian missionaries, I believe it was in the 1700s, I don't know the exact date, they found this island in the Caribbean where all these slaves were. But the only problem is the owner of that island would not let any missionaries go to that island. So there's two young men. You know what they did? They sold themselves into slavery. They said as they got on that ship as slaves so they could go preach the gospel to a bunch of slaves, one of those men said, "I pray something like this, that the Lamb receives his worthy payment." And there the families wept as these men sold themselves into slavery. What? Just to be a missionary. You know what that is? That's peculiar. A missionary who will leave his home land to go overseas is peculiar. A man who will give up his career for the ministry is peculiar. But so is the Christian who would just be bent on being like Jesus Christ every day to a lost and dying world. You say, what's the message tonight? Take heed to thyself. Father, I pray that something in these points that I preach tonight would deal with the hearts of your people. Lord, I know my biggest enemy is myself. And I often have to take heed to myself. God, I pray that you would have your will and your way as I turn over the service now. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for this church. May you get the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.